This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, Raw Dog Your iPhone.
Hello.
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 Merlin, I watched Watchmen. I'm all caught up, and oh my God, it's so fucking good.
Oh my God, no.
It's just fine.
The first.
It's fine.
Why are you tormenting me?
You're all the way up, huh?
I don't want to spoil. I don't want to spoil anything. It's definitely the kind of show that you don't want to know anything about.
Don't you agree that it's Alex's shit, though?
No. I 100% agree. But it is one of the shows that I've been barred from watching without Maddie.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why it took so long for us to finish The Leftovers. And by that I mean 1 week.
No, I'm not. I didn't mean it as like, oh, you've got to go watch this. But more like, I do feel confident recommending it to
it's,
you.
God, it's so good.
It's all of our shit.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
It really is.
I can't believe how much I like it. I'm trying to be done with like superhero stuff, and I can't believe how much
but
I like
don't...
it.
It's not superhero stuff. It's eggs. It's Eggs and Legacy.
Yeah.
Title.
I love it.
Eggs.
I can't believe that I'm comparing to what Max calls a superhero show to The Wire, but I'm watching this and I'm like, this feels like something I'm going to be thinking about and rewatching 5 years from now.
Well, also like The Wire, they do just kind of dump you into it and mm-hmm. they're kind of like, here, yeah. you know, you figure this shit out. I had really forgotten a lot of the characters and details of of Watchmen, the comic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I do think and I've been on the like Watchmen Wikipedia, you know, wiki or whatever, like reading up on stuff.
I don't think you need to.
Has it occurred to you that, are you aware that there are many Easter eggs in Watchmen? I mean, obviously callbacks.
Oh, episode one, woof.
Callbacks, Easter eggs. Well, all I'm trying to say is, ask yourself for a second about eggs.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give
Did I just blow your mind?
You're going to have to give me a reminder yeah. about that.
There are so if you go to YouTube, there are like many, many, many videos covering all the callbacks, references. Because, you know, one thing that was, I mean, there's a lot that was influential about the comic, but I feel like one of the things that a lot of my favorite comics of the last 30 years picked up from Watchmen was, and again, stuff like Children of Men, is that you can tell a lot of story. You can get a lot of exposition without an exposition dump by doing stuff like, Signs. Newspaper headlines, things people are reading.
Right.
And in the comic, that's just, I mean, you go back and reread Watchmen, you're going to discover something different every time. So, I mean, I would not call those necessarily Easter eggs, but if you go and read something like Transmetropolitan, it's a very similar kind of way over the top, really highly recommended comic. You know, all kinds of stuff like that. But I don't know. It's just obviously Eggs and Legacy, like I said, that's the themes of and like who we are, how we got.
Well, what's eggs?
Huh?
Tell me about eggs.
First episode, she's doing the in-class demonstration.
Yeah. What am I supposed to make? She's like, if even a little bit of the yolk gets in, it ruins the walls.
But what did that make in the bowl? It made the Watchmen logo, and there's a little bit of red.
It did?
The blood splatter would mm-hmm. be. Yeah.
And then at the final shot of the first episode, there's another one.
Right, that I got.
There's lots of them, yeah.
I got owls
everywhere.
I got Looking Glass eating the can of beans.
Yep. Also, but I mean, it's funny to me. I was talking to Syracuse about this when we recorded last night about, you know, it's like, think about in the episode you just saw,
mm-hmm.
the people sell eggs, they're protecting the eggs, right? Eggs.
Yeah, there is a lot of eggs, isn't there?
There's a lot of eggs. That whole episode is basically about eggs, and what everything an egg can mean.
Huh?
Eggs turn into little people.
Eggs turn into little people.
Yeah, that you might put in a centrifuge.
Okay.
My wife walked in. My wife walked in right as that scene was happening.
Oh, the 10 out of 10 rare pupper.
No, the scene where a certain character...
That was a good doggo. Did you like the doggo?
I love doggos. He had gone and picked out his lobster traps and then put them into the rotisserie machine. But then you got Easter eggs.
Oh, right. Oh, man, is that plot...
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, was that not what I thought it was? But now I think I know who that is.
Watchmen is really good. You are here to serve. Watchmen is really good. Eggs.
Hey! It's Due By Friday, everybody. Challenge your people.
is one physical going?
Oh, you know, the thing is, I had some time on Saturday.
What was this?
Did you see the footage?
No.
Oh, you got to see the footage. So the big wet boy was rushed into an SUV on Saturday afternoon, rushed to Walter Reed because, you know, just because, don't be a dick about it. He's just decided to, he's so busy making deals, so many deals, also 2020, right? So much happening. He's decided to start doing his physical in quote unquote portions as time is available. So he didn't go in Marine One, where you have to, I understand from inside sources, you have to log extensively what happens with Marine One. He was rushed into an SUV and taken to Walter Reed for absolutely no reason. Why is everyone making such a big deal about this? He just had some time on Saturday and decided to start doing his physical.
That's what I like to do, you know.
Yeah, you love to know.
Love to do it. Love that spectacle.
But the footage is pretty crazy. It looks pretty frantic. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, do I really need to be watching these hearings? Like, I feel like...
I think last week...
This morning has been insane.
Can you actually fill me in? Max, do you know what happened this morning? I've been playing Pokemon.
I saw a Google News story about it, but, you know... I do want to hear Merlin explain this, and I think we might even have a source who might join us. But if the rumors are correct, but
there's a rumor that we have a deep state source that we could turn to if we do need any kind of insight.
Oh well, I would love that. But there's a Clickhole, Merlin.
Yeah, big fan.
There was a great Clickhole article. The article is actually missing now, so I hope no one got mad at them or something.
Friend of the show, Matt Enlow, is looking for the archive right now. Actually.
Of what?
That Clickhole article that you were talking about.
How does he know?
Are you talking about Bleemer and,
yeah, and Gortman? Yeah.
Yep.
Where is it?
Here we go. Got it on the archive, putting it in the super secret.
So basically, so here's the headline. I just have the headline, which is like someone tweeted it, but it's like, it's a Clickhole headline. Legal bombshell. Mueller flipped Trump's confidence lawyer's friend's associate, Gorpman, in parentheses, who could testify against Bleemer. And it's not even lunchtime.
It's a bombshell day. Bombshell.
Oh, boy.
Big bombshell.
Yeah, no, it's just that, I mean, God, I was trying to trace the source of this. I remember what I eventually would learn is called recursion. One of the first examples of that was probably, you know, like when your mind is very blowable, like at a certain age. And somebody was like, well, imagine you're standing like a little more than one step away from a wall, right? And you take half a step toward the wall. Like you've just moved like, you know, 2.5, 3 feet. Halfway, you've walked halfway to the wall, okay? Now you take another step that's halfway to the wall, right? And you're way closer now. Like you're practically like at the wall.
Or you never get there. Maybe it's a Zeno's paradox.
No, that's recursion. That's what recursion is.
Right.
Is that if you only take half of the previous step toward the wall, you will never reach the wall. Even as you are like infinitesimally close to the wall, you will never reach the wall because that's how recursion do. And that's, I think, if I had to have like an umbrella statement of like the way we all sort of feel about this state of affairs, it really feels like we're always taking a half step toward the wall. And we're like, you're kidding. We're there. Like, so what happened today? Sondland shows up and he's real chill. He's garrulous and bibulous and a happy, happy man. Hey, woo. Yeah, great. And he has a lot to say today. Somebody on Twitter yesterday said that basically after the testimony yesterday of the four witnesses, that Sondland basically has two choices, to 100% lie or 100% tell the truth. And I don't know which one he's doing today, but it feels like he's way closer to telling the truth. And he is not holding a lot back. And anyway, I'll let you explore that when you have an opportunity to catch up on the news. But as we sit here today, 9:14 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesday, November 20th, what Sondland has expressly said is that Trump never specifically asked him to, he was never told that they had to withhold the aid. He was told to demand the investigation be announced, but he was never specifically told. And last time I checked in, poor, sweaty, moist Devin Nunez and his lawyer man were really pressing this whole thing of like, so he never specifically told you to do the crime. So the entire, you know, in my world, everybody's looking at this and going, oh my God, we just took another half step toward the wall. We're so close, but we're still half a step away from the wall. You know, because everybody's going to say, all of his ding-a-lings and all of his Jordans are going to say, yeah, well, he didn't say go do a crime. But not a great day for Giuliani. He is mega fucked. Pence has been implicated in this as knowing what's going on. Pompeo, et cetera, that according to Sondland anyway, he brought emails, he brought texts. Anyway, it's going to be a very interesting and dramatic day.
The day's just getting started, and the Trump House of Cards is already crumbling. This morning, Special Counsel Robert Mueller dropped a legal bombshell on the administration by filing court documents announcing a plea bargain with Trump's confidence lawyer's friend's associate, Gortman. And Gortman's testimony could spell major trouble for Bleamer, which must be terrifying for Trump. To avoid jail time, Gortman is ready to spill his secrets about Bleamer's secrets, which is a huge breakthrough in the Russia investigation. The best part is that it's not even noon, so we can spill it more shocking twists from Mueller today.
Do you feel me on the walking toward the wall thing, though? I mean, isn't that kind of what it feels like?
Oh, yeah.
It's like I'm so goddamn close to this fucking wall, but I still have so many half steps.
I mean, wait until he gets impeached and then reelected.
Yeah, you'd love to see it.
Just think of what would happen if Gortman gives up Bleamer. Among Trump's business partners, co-conspirators, inner circle, perhaps nobody was closer to Bleamer than Gortman, not even Roscoe. Calderino called Gortman, quote, the king of the keys. And remember, Calderino was called, quote, the keymaster by Roscoe, who Gortman praised as, quote, Trump's personal key ring. So if Calderino knows what he's talking about, if Mueller can use Gortman to get Bleamer, then Calderino's next, which is bad news for Roscoe. And Roscoe leads right back to people who lead right back to Trump.
Oh, my God.
Feldmeier must be quaking in his boots right now.
I love my goal.
I want nothing, I want nothing, I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing.
Alex, do you know what this ding-a-ling is?
What is
this little ding-dong?
It looks like something that goes into a USB-C port. I don't know.
It's it goes into the Nintendo Switch.
Oh no, Bluetooth dingus.
It's a Nintendo Switch Bluetooth dingus.
Yeah.
Third-party Bluetooth dingus. So you plug this into the USB-C and it's...
You can use your chappies. Yeah. Well, now that I have figured out that I can just shove the AirPod Pros deep enough into my ears and they'll stay there for about an hour before I need to readjust them, I'm a big fan, gotta say.
I find them quite comfortable.
Yeah. It was never actually that they were uncomfortable for me. They just fall out because I guess I
Did you do a seal test?
I did. Always my right ear fails the seal test.
I've heard this from a lot of people. A lot of people have said they have different sized ear holes.
It sounds like I'm fighting with a marine animal. Yeah, a couple of my coworkers too.
Technically, that's a sea lion.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Goo 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 jube. Okay. I think they are miraculous.
They, transparency mode. That's what it's called, right?
Well, somebody, I think Gruber said this quoting someone else, but it's basically like AR for sound in your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Totally. When I read that, it was like galaxy brained. I love it.
But it's also made me even more sensitive to how, like when I get in a Lyft, I take a lot of Lyfts these days to get my kid at school. And it's made me more sensitive than ever to like what a dick move it is to leave AirPods in all the time, because now it's so easy to just leave them in, but they don't know that you've got transparency mode on and are paused. You just seem like an asshole. You know what I mean?
Oh, when you get up to the counter with your avocados,
yeah,
you got to take one out. Minimum one's coming out.
Oh, that's almost worse.
Is it?
I don't know.
I think it is, honestly. I feel like such a bitch every time you're fumbling around
with two of them, and they have to go back in the case, and you have to, you know, yeah.
I suppose I
could just not wear them in public, but
I just keep them on.
if you have both in, you could be forgiven for forgetting you have them in.
Like
somebody could look at you and go, oh, like they're just dumb and don't realize they still have headphones in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take one out, it's like, you know what? Fuck you. You get half of whatever this is right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
eggs.
I this is shocking, I'm sure, but I can easily pass as a dumb person. So that's an easy thing for me to do at the grocery store. Not with avocados, obviously.
You think you pass? You think you pass as a dumb person?
I do.
But and yet you lack dumb guy confidence.
It's a shame, isn't it?
I mean, it really is. It's very sad to me that, like, you are a smart person. You did do your homework, you know, for years and years. You gave yourself an ulcer when you were, how old were you when you got
what
an ulcer?
What a fucking regret. That was actually in grade school. That was third grade.
My daughter still asks about that a lot. She's like, she worried enough about homework that she gave herself an ulcer. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
You know what? Third grade.
Yeah, it's a tough year.
Our teacher. It was terrible. Max, after last week, I'm going to assume that you never made yourself sick. In college, did you ever make yourself sick over, like, schoolwork and stuff, or when you were working your internship at a campaign? Like, was there ever anything academic-related
that I was anxious about?
Well, not, yeah, but, like, real, real anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would wait until the last minute to do, like, papers. Like, I'd have a paper to write.
It's different.
Do you mean, well, it's anxiety on both ends, right? So it's anxiety that makes it so that I can't start it because I'm too scared to start it.
Yep, okay,
because it's, and then it's closing in and closing in and closing in, and now it's worse, right? Now you're like, oh my God, I've had 2 weeks to have worked on this and I didn't do it because I was worried to start it.
Yeah.
And now somehow I thought it would be easier if I waited 2 weeks to start it.
It feels like it for a while, doesn't it?
In point of fact, it's much harder to start
it. It's harder because you waited and now there's less time. Yeah. I should have gotten that. I tested well and got A's, but no, I never realized that. And I always turn things in late. For me in college, it was a silly liberal arts school, but it was very demanding in a lot of ways. And one of those was just the raw tonnage of stuff you're expected to read. Over 1,000 pages a week of reading. And there would be times, though, where I could get away with it for a while, and I could kind of keep up for a while, but then you get a crunch. Maybe you get sick. Maybe you're hungover. Or maybe it's just that, you know, your teachers aren't talking, your professors are not talking to each other. They are not comparing notes to make sure that you have balance in your life.
Pause. Teacher, like, TAs and professors, or what now? You said teachers aren't talking to professors.
No, I corrected myself to say professor instead of teacher because I think
okay.
No. Just to say that.
I only pass as a dumb person.
Well, no, I'm not super bright either, obviously.
Sorry, go on.
No, it's just a matter of like getting to a point where I feel like there's certainly a point where everybody gets to where you have to decide what you're not going to do or what you're not going to do well. You know, what you're not going to do at all. And like in my short story class, a lot of times I would just blow it off. Like I'm not going to read In the Penal Colony this week because I have all this Vonnegut stuff over here to read or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Nothing against Kafka. I forget who. But, you know, but like, but it was a lot of reading. That's what I was there for. I was there to read. Very John Mulaney situation, you know, paying the $100,000 to study a language I already know. But, like, you do get in that situation where, like, it becomes, like, similar to triage, where you're like, well, what will I just not do? And that is extremely stressful because I did feel like a fraud, that I probably should not have been in this college at all. I was a 5 percenter. Like, we're going to take a flyer on this kid, let him in, even though he does not have the record that shows he could succeed here. And I always felt like a fraud. I mean, everybody around me was way smarter, better exposed, better traveled, more cosmopolitan, more woke, more everything than I was. And I was a kid from Central Florida who was a dipshit. And like, so I don't know, that was personally painful to me, is that like I could feel my inadequacy so acutely. And then I just knew that like to stay alive this week, I'm just going to have to fake it. And it just sucks. It's extremely stressful.
Do you think, though, that a lot, I know that you were a flyer in terms of, you've told the story, like, in terms of the grades you got in high school, but don't you think half the people were basically faking it? Because, I don't know, you're a bunch of kids, and if you're smart, you think everybody else, you have the like wherewithal to expect
the opposite of Dunning-Kruger.
you're like, everyone's smarter than me. Fuck.
Well, but I had friends, and I was a year older than most of the kids entering my class, and because I had a year in between my terrible, terrible year. And but my friend Dave had gone to whatever that fancy math and science school in the Bronx is. And like he had a Def Jam shirt in 1986. And it was like, I was like, holy shit, and you got a skateboard too? And it's like, all I have is this Black Flag cassette that my friend made me. It's like, I have nothing. I'm so callow and silly to even be here. No, but you're right. I think people do feel that. But the other thing, the other axis, at least one axis, is the whole like, you know, some of the stories were true, that there were kids who absolutely, I say kids, but, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids, who had straight A's their whole life, but they came to this very unstructured liberal arts school in Florida with 520 students, and they either, like, went straight into a bottle, or they just, the lack of structure made their processor just melt down. There was no person who was there congratulating them on their A's. The professors were like, you know what, I don't have time to like deal with your stuff. If you turn it in and it's good, that's fine. But like you don't get a sticker with a star. Like you're gonna have to just manage your life now. And there were kids who legit melted down because there just wasn't enough structure. And they ended up going to UF and doing really well, you know?
That really surprises me, actually. Maybe because you did go to an artsy fartsy school, and I would expect that people would be like, ah, yes, great, great insight.
Well, we had, it was, I mean, not to go on about this, but it was a very interesting time at a very interesting place, to be certain. Like, on the one hand, it had become part of the USF school system, which is fine. It had become part of USF some years earlier, but still was wildly independent and outside the system. And we're always like, you know, and then years later, it would get much bigger and better funded and become highly, highly, highly selective. But the shameful paradox of New College in 1986 was, through the whole time I was there, was that it was, we had just been featured as the best liberal arts school in America. I didn't take diction. And it was highly selective. It was a Harvard level. Like, we let in a very, very, because there's only 500 kids there, it's a very small number of people who get in.
Oh, shit.
But
wow.
We also, it was considered highly, highly selective. But it also had, of the highly selective colleges and universities, it had the highest attrition rate in the United States. So, I think it was over half of the people who matriculate don't graduate. It was really bad. Because generally, highly selective schools have really low attrition rates. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm,
and it
mm-hmm.
was just this, it
yeah.
was like constantly the problem to solve for was, okay, we've got this school that like out the door is $5,000 a year. Like, how do we get better at selecting people who will do well here? Are the SATs enough? Do we look at your essay? You know, it just, because they did not have a secret sauce for figuring out who could succeed, and it was making the school look bad.
Did you see the thing about colleges doing Facebook ads for kids that they know can't get in?
No. Oh, no. That's so dark.
What now?
Yeah, this came out last week. So basically, a bunch of top schools got caught sort of targeting kids who they know from like SAT scores and stuff cannot get into the school to encourage them to apply. And the reason is they want a lower acceptance rate.
Because it
increases your ranking on the U.S. News and World Report college rankings if your acceptance rate is low.
Oh my god! Yeah, exactly. Because now you're more. So you are de facto now more selective.
Correct. So they're sort of like juicing the numbers by trying to get these kids who can't get in to apply. It's a lot of fucking work to apply to a college. You have to pay and stuff, don't
sure.
you?
Yeah, absolutely.
The majority, especially with those, you know, more selective schools, it's like, well, it costs time and money to go through all of these. And that is indeed true. But God, what a fucking racket. I mean, the majority of... people are going to be mad. And I feel like the majority of not state schools that aren't Ivy League schools are kind of a racket at this point.
Oh, totally.
And just to, yeah.
There's some that are like, well, on the one hand, boy, are we going to get in trouble. you've got, on the one hand, you've got this whole like online university stuff that you see, and like they're selling this dream of like, you know, and you get in here and like you're going to learn to code or whatever. And, you know, there's that stuff. But then there's like the, how does one say? There's the schools, the private schools, and in fact, a lot of the public schools that, and I'm not totally up to date on this, but there are names that we all know of universities, say in Arizona, that like, but we know that there are schools that they get a rap as a party school, they get a rap as like, you can get in here, you get your ticket punched, and then you lay that alongside the Lori Loughlin stuff, and it's like dark timeline shit. It's like, but then also then, you know, you do find yourself looking at privilege, the privilege of all this stuff, and going like, I go back and I look at myself. My story used to be, hey, look at me. I failed two classes as a senior in high school and got into a highly selective college. Well, the truth is, as I sit here today, I feel like to a near certainty that my best friend's dad, who was an alum, so basically my best friend in high school was the first child of an alumnus to go to New College. And I feel to a near certainty that that's why I got in. That basically he made a call to admissions and said, hey, you know, let this dingling in. And they're like, okay, fine. And then they would then, so they say to me, like, oh yes, well, you know, your essay was very impressive. And sorry about your music theory class, you know. But like, I got in because of connections, I think. I really, as I say here today, I'm not proud of that, obviously. But I think that's true. And I think there's so much shit like that that goes on that you could know about, let alone the stuff you don't know about. Like, why can we walk in certain neighborhoods at certain times of day and not be questioned, and other people can't? Well, America, baby.
Yeah.
Sorry. College is such a fucking racket. Ugh.
I had a good one this morning. I hope it's okay for me to tell this story, and if not, we'll just have Quinn edit this whole segment out. But Jen had a great story that she came in this morning, and she was like, I just had the craziest Lyft driver, and he said, women aren't good cooks because men are better cooks because when women cook, they always try to replace ingredients. And she was just sitting there like, excuse me, what? Like, yeah, exactly. I was like, were you talking about cooking or something? And she was like, no.
Oh, boy.
But I was thinking about that, like,
men are better because they replace ingredients?
No, because when women cook in the kitchen, they try to replace ingredients. Oh. They, like, don't follow the recipe. They replace ingredients.
They're sloppy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't even understand what bothers me about that, except that it bothers me. I don't, that makes no sense.
Well, it's a very specific thing to be sexist about. It's like a, weird,
it
like.
It really is.
It's like a weird invented stereotype. But then I was chatting with Jen about it, and I was like, you know what's crazy is, like, probably more than 50% of the time that I get into a Lyft, the driver winds up making some sort of sexist or racist comment to me in the form of often like a black guy will like cross the crosswalk ahead of the car, and he'll be like, he'll go, you want to hear a joke? And I think, I don't know how people.
They always ask too, want to hear something funny?
Well, it's a way, I think it's that I'm a white dude and he's trying to bond with me. And he's trying to be like, look, I'm the same as you, you know, whatever.
I had this experience 2 days ago, Max.
And it's just a very strange phenomenon. Like, I hope it's not something that I'm signaling that I'm interested in. And then there's like always the question of, what do you do about it? Because I think what some people do is you go, hey, man, it's not okay to make those kind of jokes. But, like, you know, I'm a coward. I'm not going to say that.
Your life is in their hands for a little while.
Yeah.
I definitely am not. I do not have the sort of fortitude to say to the guy that, like, that. The best I can summon is I'll go, is it cool if I listen to my headphones?
I need to listen to this for my work is what I say.
Yeah.
I have a meeting that I'm always listening in on when I'm taking a Lyft during the day.
I have this experience too. Oh my gosh, that's so weird that you would say that. Because what I was about to say was something similar, which is that I can't believe how often a Lyft driver says something to me that is very odd and unprovoked, but also seems like something they say a lot. And I'm like, I do that? I mean, do I, when I meet strangers, say things like, wow, Chinese people shouldn't be allowed to use crosswalks? And you're like, what? Yeah. What does that mean? What does that even mean?
The level of racism I'm getting, it's not like open white supremacy. They're not going like, stop miscegenation and, you know, all hail the master race, 3399 or whatever the number they say is.
It's 14
not,
words.
It's not Yeah, it's not that. It's not that. They're not like, boy, I sure miss Jeff Sessions as Attorney General.
But it's casual racism Friday.
It's more of like, I would say it's like more of like a 1960s level of racism where it's like, do you want to hear a joke? You know, and it's like, no, I don't want to hear a joke.
The women's liber says to the Jew.
Whenever I get into a car and the Lyft driver says, "You're Alexandra," I know that I'm in for a treat. And then they're usually
like the magician.
The
yes. Please don't kill me. Please don't leave me in a ravine. I have to get my daughter. yeah, like the magician because of my name. That's really good.
Yep.
Holy shit, I'm 53. I never heard that. That's so fucking good.
Do you ever go like, what magician?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
More like
no,
minimum
no.
Tempkin. What?
I've become like a Sarah Sanders fan in a car, and there's also the opposite, like the guy who's trying to be super woke, who's like, man, I'm just so the world has really progressed today. That Nancy Pelosi, I'm so glad she's around to combat Trump. I'm like, yeah, all right.
You're so sweaty. Just look at the road.
That stuff that leftists love to sit around and talk about, which is how cool Nancy Pelosi is.
So cool. Did you see those sunglasses and that coat she has? It's really cool.
Yes, queen.
Yes, yes. I'm here for this.
I made a comment about the... Oh, you guys saw the Mayor Pete dance, right?
Oh, my God.
I heard that they made fun of it on Chop already, but I haven't listened, and...
It was so... Oh, Max, it's
so funny.
I skipped the interview part because I don't like when people are on bad connections. But by the time you get to the Mayor Pete part, it's very, very funny.
Well... Anyway, I saw that video and I lost my mind. Have you seen it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. And then I had to Google it to figure out what the hell everyone was talking about, and I posted that. And then someone replied back to me and they were like, actually, the dance was designed so that handicapped people could do it in their wheelchair. And so it's actually your anti-accessibility.
If you make
fun of the dance. And I was like, among other things, like, there's no one in a wheelchair in the video. Like, if that's the whole design, if that's the whole point.
Oh, well, so people in wheelchairs don't exist if you don't see photos of them? This is a phenomenon that I generally call bring your own joke. And here's the thing. I don't like to make an on-the-nose joke unless it's a really good on-the-nose joke. I like to make an arch joke where I'm sorry to have to fucking explain this, but I will say a thing that five people might understand, but it's five people who are thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, and then they will like that. But it drives me fucking bananas when people show up and they're like, they're missing. So like, okay, I did a funny joke yesterday because I've been obsessed with this picture of America's mayor for a couple weeks now. So you've seen the photo of America's mayor banging on his phone with his weird gnarled fingers.
Oh, yeah, I know the post you're talking about. Very funny.
Well, I've been doing this post in my head for 2 weeks, and I finally sat down and did it, and it turned out 1,000 times better than I expected. So click through, and you'll see three. This is a tweet from yesterday with
three
photos in it. Look at that.
Oh, and now I can't unsee it on the main picture either.
I know, because he basically, the two sides of his face.
Oh, his fingers are so upsetting. They're like they're like little kosher pickles.
So upsetting. Can you imagine getting banged by that guy? The finger banging of that guy is hazardous.
No!
They're like little. They're like those little hard kosher pickles.
God. Oh, and I tweet the dirty things. Oh,
but just
God,
think about
the
abrasions you'd get from that ring.
Oh, it's so much.
The Yankees.
That makes you bleed. Woof.
You get a Yankees on your cooter.
Yeah.
But like, it's okay. So like, I don't want to single anybody out. But it just drives. You know, whatever. Fuck. I should just not be on the internet. But like, there's a thing here where like, if you really take a minute and look at what I'm trying to accomplish here. And, you know, maybe it doesn't matter to you because you just go and you leave a comment on everything. Beep, a doop, boop, boop, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, beep, whatever. But, like, take a minute, read the fucking room, figure it out. like, go look at the thing. Mm. Don't bring your own joke until you've figured out what the joke is. Because then people are like, wah. And it's just the stupidest fucking normie dad commentary about you didn't get the joke and you brought your own. And it makes my dick hurt. I hate it.
Oh, I'm looking at these replies.
Well, no, some people, you know, that's fine. Some people get it, some people don't. But like, you know, like today. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I'm not going to review all of my tweets. But like,
no. Let's do an academic study.
Well, I mean, okay. So like, at 2 hours ago, at what time? At 7:01 a.m., I said maybe after lunch they can bring in Brett Kavanaugh to cry. Okay. Now I think a lot of people out there are going to understand that joke. Do you understand the joke? The joke is, do you remember Christine Blasey Ford's testimony? Could there have been a more moving, upsetting, personally, like, gut-wrenching testimony that anybody could do? When they left for lunch that day of her testimony, you know, again, I've learned to abandon hope. But, like, you're like, oh, shit, this guy's done. He is donezo. And do you remember what happened? He came back, he seemed a little bit drunk, and he started screaming and crying.
I still love just the diary entries and say, do you?
Oh, from his planner?
We all remember the diary entries, right? Yeah. His dad read his planner every night. You know, they'd gather around the Christmas tree.
Oh, they gather around and read the planner. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
100% thought he was dead. Oh no, the guy's right behind him. I'm like, well, that, not that it's like normal, but sure, okay, he's remembering his dead dad. No. Right there. And that's the point where I'm like, yeah, no way is this man sober right now.
But it changed everything because he showed up, and then Lindsey Graham had a hissy fit, and he started screaming and crying, and it changed the velocity of the day because of the perception of what happened. Cut all of this out. So fucking angry.
No.
So angry. Don't bring your own joke. Go see if there's a joke there. Go sort around. Go look through Lost and Found and see if there might already be a joke there that you could participate in before you bring your own joke. God damn it.
I don't get the Star Trek Merry Christmas joke. I just don't
get it. It's a very funny thing to have on a Christmas ornament.
I mean, yeah, that is this
have
like
you seen the,
gay?
Do you know the scene?
No,
it's referencing. Okay,
this is original Star Trek, though, right?
It's an extremely sad, extremely moving scene. It's maybe the greatest scene in all of Star Trek.
I should really watch the show.
Okay,
all right.
Quinn, insert a long beep noise here. Spock sacrifices himself. And he dies.
Oh, I mean, I knew that.
But I don't remember. Why does he have an oven mitt, Max?
I think, isn't that the Christmas ornament?
It's a Christmas mitt.
Like he's making cookies or something. Was that part of
the film? That was part of the film.
Oh, was it? I don't remember. I remember in the remake, in the J.J. Abrams remake.
In the Bumbadick Cumberbund one?
They fucking flipped it. It was Kirk who sacrificed himself.
I was so goddamn confused because my kid is just utterly obsessed with Star Trek right now. So we're watching all the Star Trek things, mostly TOS, as you know. But like, I was so confused about Captain Pike because I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, so one thing everybody knows about Captain Pike is he's going to end up in that little chair with the buttons, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's got like the most enduring Star Trek image of my youth next to Spock doing the Nanu Nanu thing with his hands. The most enduring image was my wife and I were both heavily scarred by the image of Captain Pike in the beep beep chair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Alex?
I think that I know this because I just know the reference from Futurama.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's one of those things where how a lot of people have their knowledge of The Godfather comes from The Simpsons.
Oh, totally,
that's how
totally.
I am with Star Trek, really.
I didn't realize the movies were, what would you call it, Max? They're not, it's kind of the same continuity, but not really. Because Captain Pike totally lives in the...
Yeah, you mean the original series movies?
Yeah. Well, like the ones with Chris Pine Tree and
Oh, no, those are like a complete... So, you know, those are a complete reimagining of Star Trek. I think they're pretty... I actually think the first one in particular...
Oh, no, I like them.
Yeah, they're pretty good movies, right?
I think the third one's actually... The third one's really good.
The third one. Ooh, I didn't care for that. I liked the opening scene of the third movie was an unbelievable sequence, but I thought the movie had a lot of problems. But I like those films, but I just... My only wish was that I think those movies, what I would like, if those movies hadn't been Star Trek, but if they had just been like, you know, Space Force or something.
Oh, right. Yeah,
if
yeah,
it was
yeah.
Just, and if they had just made it a new IP, but it was basically the same movie, I would have said this is one of the greatest sci-fi movies made in the last 50 years. But because they made it Star Trek and they called the characters Spock and Kirk, and I don't think they really wanted to make a Star Trek movie. I think they wanted to make a space action movie. Like, you know, it felt like it had all this like checklist filmmaking of like, we got to have like beam it up, Scotty. Mm-hmm. What else do people know? We got to have, I'm a doctor, not a blank. Yeah, we got to have, you know, whatever, the Nanu Nanu.
Right. Right. As long as we find a way to remember him, Nanu Nanu. Yep. You got to have, all that stuff. Anyway, that was confusing to me. But it's got Carl Urban, whom I enjoy. He plays Bones.
Yeah.
And is that how he got his name? Because his wife divorced him and all he has left is his bones?
Oh.
I thought it was Sawbones.
Oh.
Yeah. Carl Urban, he's very good. You know, I think he's Australian.
Is that it?
Yeah.
What are you guys watching on Disney Plus?
Mandalorian.
Oh, really? Fuck. How do you have time?
I don't do any. I don't have a job. But Mandalorian's really good. And I watch all the Watchmen episodes at least twice.
Have you seen it?
No. I've been deep in the Disney Channel original movies back.
How's your game going? Your Can I Find the Most Obscure Thing game. How's that going?
There isn't Toothless, the Christy Alley movie, but other than that, I have not been able...
You haven't stumped it yet?
That was the one that was stumped. But also, that one was... pretty recent, like a 1993, recent 1993. But no,
that
like
feels pretty goddamn recent to me.
Listeners, I'm going to talk to you now. I know they don't like when I do this, but if you watched DuckTales, there is now, for the first time since the 90s, DuckTales the movie is available on Disney Plus, and it is one of the best cartoon films I've ever seen in my entire life. So go watch
it.
All right, I'm back.
DuckTales.
What about the Goofy movie?
Oh, that actually is a very... now I'm going to cry. Oh, what a good... You don't like the Goofy movie?
I love the Goofy movie.
I love the Goofy movie. That's the fun family night movie, Merlin.
Okay.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, Goofy.
I feel like you guys aren't a big Disney family.
Kind of, but I really liked the I know we canceled John Lasseter, but I liked the John Lasseter contributed Disney movies a ton. A lot of the older Disney movies where did we talk about this? I forget where I talked about this, but you know, a lot of the older, especially the live action movies, but also some of the animations are terrifying, and the live action movies are incredibly slowly paced. So, like, I mean, Pinocchio, I've never shown my kid Pinocchio because I loved it, but I did find it very scary when I was a kid.
It's upsetting.
Whereas Mary Poppins, literally nothing happens in the movie. It's the most boring conceivable movie. Now, like Frozen, she loved Frozen when she was little, but like a lot of kids her age now, there's backlash. That's a thing for little kids. That's not for 12-year-olds.
I love Frozen.
No, I don't know. I think Wreck-It Ralph is an achievement. I loved Wreck-It Ralph. I loved Tangled. I think all of those are great. Tangled Man, that's a good movie. Good music, too. Beginning by then, it's like 7:15, right. And so I read a book, maybe two or three, put a... Why are you making a noise, Alexandra?
That's fine.
I don't know. All the songs sound the same.
Mm-hmm. You're watching it wrong. You're enjoying it wrong.
Oh my god.
We got some more colored rocks and now they're in a pile. Some have two eyes or three people inside. We are confused of things.
That was, you know what? Just they had the melody.
Greg the Sunburn Man. And by then it's like 7:15. So I read a book. It's a song about recursion, really. Think about it. Oh, I love the little lizard. Isn't he cute?
Oh, no.
He's so cute. I love the lizard.
Well, actually, it's a chameleon, but all right.
Our boy's still sleeping. He's still sleeping.
He is? Yeah. I'm very tired this morning. Maybe it's a Bando effect. Like, You know, like a when what's it called when just an idea infects people's minds and then it's like, oh, yep, I definitely have this. Oh. I think maybe
are you brilliant? Oh my gosh,
I think so.
Well, I do something that I recommend for everyone. I you know I'm a calendar guy and I love me some calendars. This is just this is our tip of the week. Is that I use various calendars. I've got my primary Google calendar, which everybody knows is special. There's special things that you can only do with your primary calendar. But I've got other ones. I've got one called Environment, into which I feed like just things that are background things. Somebody's in town, someone's out of town. It's also where I feed all my deliveries from the deliveries app. But I have one called Journal. And Journal is just for when a thing started or ended or happened. And it's not like personal stuff. But like I write, like I say, brumation started, brumation ended, things like that. And it's just handy to be able to go back and know that, like, if it's something where you're going to know when it started or ended, you just put that on your journal calendar. And so I know that it's going to be 2 weeks as of Saturday.
Oh, wow.
It could go for 2 weeks, could go for 2 months.
What a trooper.
He's a good boy. Mm. Oh, he's such a sweet boy.
God, this really isn't helping. The Cox family shouldn't get a dragon.
Are you going to get one?
Dragon. I don't think so.
They're so what if you both got salmonella?
That'd be so sweet.
Listen, we've already eaten so much cat shit in the air, I'm sure.
That's a different thing, though. That's not salmonella. You need a lizard if you really want. You need a reptile if you want salmonella.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we're kind of being diseasist if we're only getting, fuck, what's it called? See, I can't even think because I've just inhaled so much cat shit this morning.
Trichinosis? That's pork, right? What's the one that makes you want more cats, right? That what's it called?
Oh, the
what's it called?
Cat poop, brain worms.
Cat poop brain.
Would
worms.
You have to get approval from your landlord?
He is turning around. Landlord who doesn't. He still won't let us hang anything on the walls. But the other day, out of nowhere, he's like, "You know, you could have a dog if you wanted."
What?
What does that just completely unprompted?
Wow.
We just happened to see him. He was like cleaning or doing something for winter. And he's like, hey, you know, you guys can have a dog, right? And I'm like, okay. I think he's, Merlin, you know how I sometimes say things and you're just like, all right, save the turtles. He just says words. And I'm like, is this
because you oop.
Yeah, and I oops.
I know. Get a bracelet. Okay.
Are you a Visco girl
no,
now?
No, don't do that, Alex. Don't even joke. It's like doing the Eddie Vedder voice. Just don't even, never start. Not even once.
Yeah, you're gonna do it as a bit, and then you're gonna start doing it all the time.
Oh, well, I love the current discourse of, don't bully and make memes about high school girls. Let them live. And I'm like, it is all Visco girls who are making these very, very funny memes. And good for them. Like, just let people have fun on TikTok. It's the last place.
I'm so unclear on what your point is. What are we supposed to do? Wheelchairs? What's happening? You're pro Visco ooping, but don't.
Yes.
Okay. Why no. Can't all dances be done in a chair of wheels? See, I kept thinking they were talking about the Frank Sinatra song that Kennedy used. You know, because he's got high hopes, he's got... But it's not. It's the Disco Panic Boys. Big boomer energy to that dance. I'm doing something with my arms, with people.
You know what?
Merlin, does the man household have a Nintendo Switch?
Yes.
And is the new Pokemon been acquired?
No.
It hasn't.
No. What does she play on the Switch? I forget.
Let me ask. In terms of weapons, does she like swords or shields more?
For what? In day to day?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a sword and a shield are contrasting. One's an offensive weapon and one's a defensive weapon normally.
But that's your opinion.
If you had to pick one.
Oh, sorry. Was that wheelchair stuff me?
You can throw a shield.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I like defensive things. I like the X-Men that have defensive powers.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking what your family prefers.
Oh, okay. My wife, I don't know if she has a feeling on it. Sword versus shield. I'm not sure what I'm getting myself into by even responding to this.
Just it's an easy question.
Is this like flight or invisibility?
Save the turtles. Does your daughter prefer swords or shields?
I don't know. She likes Star Trek. Does that count?
Oh, my God.
I don't want her to be a Visco person.
That's a shield. That's a shield answer.
I think that's a shield answer. You're right. You're right. All right. Thank you. You've been very helpful in this matter.
Okay. What does that have to do with this? Oh, because of okay. Yeah. There's a Pokemon sword thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Ha ha ha. Okay. and I oop.
You okay?
Sisk. Meme.
You're saying it wrong.
Sisk. Meme.
Merlin, we're going to turn your daughter into a Visco girl. There's nothing you can do about it. Alex is already buying her scrunchies. It's over.
Yeah, and the bracelet in the water bottle. Okay.
Soon you're going to have to go to the Wonder Museum and make TikToks of yourself in front of, like, balloons.
My dick hurts again. Okay, take a challenge.
I was very confused about the challenge this week, but it was to not use a case on your phone?
Yeah, well, because you were busy, and we were like, let's
just
have...
We were initially trying to get Jen and Trim, but that didn't work out, apparently, so we mm-hmm. fell back to use your phone without a case.
Got it.
Yep.
Well, I always do that, but I'm curious what your experiences were.
Well, first of all, why... I know why you always do this, because the aesthetics of the phone are very nice and it's a very pretty object. But literally, how do you hold it? These are soap phones.
Slippery. I have a structural support pinky. Copyright 2010 John Syracuse, mm-hmm, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If I had to guess. But I hold it like this, so the pinky's on the bottom.
Yeah, okay. But unless you have like a sweaty hand, how do you...
I have it in a vice grip. So I have it in like a reverse mechanics grip, like a deck of cards.
But that's the problem. I tried that and it, like soap, has gone shooting out of my hands across the room and shattered.
I mean, I will say I dropped this phone quite a bit.
Oh, God.
This form factor, this and the last, one or two, I've dropped quite a bit.
It's not as bad. The I was hopeful with the 7 with the jet black because it was all grippy and nice. But mm-hmm. these things, Johnny Ive.
My previous the piano black one or whatever it was called, the previous one of these that mm-hmm. I had, was I had no problem at all using without a case.
As
I'll get to in a sec, like I ended up preferring the battery case, but that was fine. So for the challenge, I mean. First of all, I rushed. I needed to get a phone quickly. What am I saying? I wanted the phone fast. I was too late for the green one, so I've got the space whatever one, right?
Did you upgrade
you
as part of this
green?
Challenge?
No. I just buy the phones the second they're available because I'm a cuck. But but I wanted the green one, but I would have had to wait. And because, you know, I'm a white guy, I didn't want to wait. So I got this black one or whatever. So aesthetically, it looks like every phone I've ever owned, mostly. I took off my case for a grand total of about 18 seconds for this challenge. It was ridiculous. I was like, "What? Who holds the? You? This is ridiculous." It was because, like I say, the 10S in the shiny black had a little bit of grippiness to it. This one has zero grippiness.
It's matte. It's
really
a
bad
matte finish.
It's pretty and it feels good, like satiny, but like, oh my gosh, I would be dropping this all the time. Even if I had a reverse mechanics grip like a magician.
Ooh, look at it. Oh, that does.
I listen.
This is very nice.
Okay, so here's my conundrum. Yes. So Alex, I'm going to throw it to you in a minute to do your rant mm-hmm. about the battery case, but since you guys, I'm sure, are in the dock, you'll see that I put a picture of a croc in here. What is there anything in the world more easy to trip on than a croc? A croc, no matter where you put a croc in your house, I'm talking here about the shoes, you will trip on a croc.
Hold on. There's no doc link in our super secret text channel.
The document has already been shared with you. It's available in your Google Docs. It's always available to you.
I'm sorry.
Proceed. This is like an iPhone doc?
So now you're John Roderick and I have to send you a link every week to where Google Docs is? This is personally painful to me.
All right.
Jesus Christ. Sorry. Let me click. I'm clicking on share. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay, got that. Oh yeah. Oh, look at that. It says, this is right here, shared with Alex Cox and Max Thompson.
Grub.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me click the link and I'll put it in the channel so you can get it. Here we go.
Oh, motherfucker! Breaking news. Thank you, Stephen Hackett, who's just texted me. Apple releases new smart battery case for iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro.
After show!
Fuck yes.
Not yet. Can you buy them? Max, do not deface the document. I see your cursor. Don't...
I'm sorry. Should I have it in the cursor zone?
Oh, God. Oh, no. All of my texts are being flooded. Ah.
All right,
okay,
Apple.com.
So when you said a croc, you literally meant the shoe, a croc, that it's the easiest thing to trip on. Why?
It's just that if there's a croc anywhere that's not like in a closet, someone will trip on it because of the readiness of it. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't move. It's very... Like, you can't, like, if you, like, any normal pair of shoes, if you want to, like, swipe them out of the way with your foot, right? You can just slide them. You can't do that with a croc. So here's my conundrum. On the one hand, like, if you get a case that's grippy enough to be grippy, like I think you said, I'm sorry, I'm not making much of a point. This is easily the worst episode we've ever done.
I don't care. I get to talk about my case.
You've talked in the past about how you feel like the silicone cases are getting less like human skin and more fun to hold. Is that right? Haven't you stipulated that? Because I used to feel like they're too grippy, and like a croc, I might end up actually dropping it more because, like, it's unexpectedly grippy. It's croc-like, so I want something in between.
See, that's how I feel about the silicone or the rubber. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
On the battery cases, it is different than the regular Apple cases. I have not got confirmation.
I love the battery case.
Yeah, it feels different.
And you get used to it. You get used to the size and the weight, and you come to crave it.
I mean, at this point, the phones have been so big for so long that I am always like, all right, I got to get this monster into and out of my pocket somehow. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any difference.
I don't like that it grabs onto the inner material of the pocket.
That was my problem. That was my croc problem with the old one. It was just too hard to get out of a pocket.
Yeah. It takes the whole pocket with it.
especially with these commuter jeans where the pockets want to come out. Do you get that with the classic commuter jeans? With the shiny pockets?
I fully don't have any more commuter jeans.
Oh,
they
no.
all had problems. So now I'm onto my black 511s.
Oh.
Is this available to order, Alex?
It is. I'm doing that right now.
Are you going to have it delivered to the office?
Yep.
Like today?
You go to the website?
No, it is on the website. Standard delivery. Delivers Monday, November 25th.
Oh,
what?
Fuck that.
Fuck you. Ugh.
Fuck that. Come on.
Come on now.
let's go.
Give it to me now. Oh,
where is the smart battery case 11? Okay.
I don't want to pick it up.
No, come on. God damn it.
Oh, that's very upsetting.
I think 9to5 Mac might just be an AI at this point. Is it really? Okay. So where do I go to buy it, Alex? I'm confused.
Oh, wait,
is it on the Apple site?
Hold on. Yeah.
All right. And where do you go? You're clicking. I go to...
Accessories. And there it is.
Where's accessories?
I would send you the link, but it is frozen now in the process of checking
Stranded. Frozen. that's the Demi Lovato version.
I am a fan of the Demi Lovato Let It Go.
I love that, and I love the part when she says Stranded Frozen. For a long time I was confused about misremember that being in the song at all? But like it's just in that one. And I think it's a great use of that song in a different version at the end of the movie.
I agree.
It's really good.
I've gotten a lot of shit for this.
Who would give you shit about that, Alex? Just name a name. Name a single person. Oh, okay. All right, fine.
Maddie. And my entire family has shamed me, including
God,
some...
You're surrounded by so many unsupportive people.
I know, right?
It's really weird.
More...
I don't see it. I see XR.
I see... I've literally gotten a dozen... Text here. Let me get the exact link for you. I have now purchased this
iPhone 11 Pro silicone clear Meyer Lemon.
Do you cone or con?
Huh? Silicone.
When you say
silicone, silicon. I know that one of them is wrong.
One is sand and one's rubber.
Wait, what?
What?
No, like silicon, like Silicon Valley. Alexa, uh-huh. Stop. Is chips and stuff made out of sand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
Okay. And then... Oh, so here it is. iPhone 11 Pro. Smart battery case with wireless charging, black.
Woo, $130.
This is, kind of makes me want to throw up, but...
What? What?
Yep.
Check out with Apple
well,
Pay.
Well,
check out with Apple Pay. Delivers
Christmas present
Monday.
For myself.
Okay.
Woof.
It's a long time to wait.
I know.
Pick up Monday 25th. Okay. All right. You got to do what you got to do.
Wants me to set up Apple Pay? God, let me... here, insert fry throw money gif here. You know what? It's been a bad day, guys. Jesus Christ.
How's Fortman doing?
Merlin, are you telling me you're not watching in a little window on your computer?
No, I'm not. How's Fortman? Is he in trouble? We got him this
time. You're looking.
Oh,
don't
boy.
Lie. You've got it
no,
on.
No, I don't. No, it would hurt my bandwidth. I can't do that. I'm a bandwidth queen. I turn everything off.
You don't have one of those like little 90s TVs like the guy in the bathtub watches The Truman Show on?
Of course where, I
you
do.
You know, it has the antennas.
I've got my Amazon Show, Echo Show right here. But it's just a picture of my kid right now.
Uh-huh,
stupid
sure.
Baby.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We don't even need to release the episode now. Right, well, now everything's solved.
I am getting a... So Alex, you're just going to use the battery case from now on.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no question.
And put this ridiculous cinder block into your pocket, this vulcanized cinder block into your pocket every day.
100%.
You laugh, but once you start using it, it's going to seem crazy that you had a time when you didn't. It's great. It is really great.
Are you guys having problems with the battery lasting all day on your phone?
Yeah, but I mean, I always have. I think it's a little... I think people are exaggerating how much battery
well,
life
okay,
they're getting.
Well, okay, I want to address this because this is similar to a conversation that Dan and I are having about Synology, and where I talked Dan out of getting a 2-bay Synology and said, no, you're insane. Go get a 6-bay Synology. Because the whole point of having a NAS is you never have to think about storage space, right? So like I'm at 1/3 capacity. I've got 10 terabytes available even after mirroring because that's how I want it. I don't want to have to think about that for a long time. If I had my druthers, I would never have to think about turning on the cheapy battery mode and I would run my goddamn screen at full brightness all the time.
Oh, okay there, Adam Lysagor. Woof. Why?
Well, I like it to be bright. It's nicer. It looks better when it's very bright. And like, so with a battery case,
true.
With a battery case, I never have to worry about that.
Don't you ever wake up in the middle of the night having a panic attack and then you like go on your phone?
I take a lot of drugs, so I sleep.
And you leave the brightness all the way up and it's just like staring
at
you.
Oh, no, that's
the...
upset. That is upsetting. But no, I don't look at my phone at night, but.
I keep dark mode on all the time.
It's like when Sister Knight goes to the place when she gets the call and the lights in her face.
Let Saigons be Saigons.
Turn that light off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's an egg.
Eggs. Eggs.
It's an egg.